Good morning. This is Right Here, Right Now, brought to you by Right Choice Services. I'm your host, Tim Morrison. On Right Here, Right Now, we interview business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals about their work and the book they have written, are in the process of writing, or intend to write someday. My regular co-host for the program is Stone Payton, but Stone is out of town for a funeral today, and sitting in, capably as he always does, is Alan Dobrinsky. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Dr. Tim.
You're getting to be a regular on my show.
It's my pleasure.
Well, it's a delight to have you here. You know, Alan, we have a recurring sub-theme in many of the interviews on Right Here, Right Now that focuses on business people and entrepreneurs who write about their particular area of expertise and then use that writing to help others. Today's show lifts that theme from sub-theme status to front and center. Our guests are Larry Warnick and Hal Coleman. It's been a few weeks since we followed our usual format for Right Here, Right Now, but we're going to return to that today, and I'm going to interview each guest individually and then open up for conversation. We're going to begin with Larry. Larry Warnick is the founder of Passkey Strategies, an Atlanta-based firm designed to facilitate breakthrough results for business leaders of small and emerging firms as they move through the business life cycle. Now, Larry, you honed your leadership and coaching skills with over 25 years of business and management experience. You've worked with startups and Fortune 500 level companies. And I understand you're writing a book in which you share some of your processes and strategies. So welcome, Larry.
Well, thank you for having me on the show, Tim.
It's good to be on air alive after Thanksgiving, isn't it?
Well, I did my bit to eat too much, so I'm here. I'm glad to be here.
Great. Explain to our listeners what Passkey Strategies is and does.
Well, within the world of small business consulting, what we do is we focus on helping self-employed business owners, often people that have left the corporate world after careers like mine and started a business. We help them create their niche in the marketplace and define the niche, create it, and then dominate the niche. So we find that business owners try to do too many things, focus unfocused, and try to compete on too many fronts. We help them get focused and create niches that they can profit from.
Profit.
Profit. One of my favorite words.
Pick up on that concept for our listeners and for me as well. Somebody's starting a new business, and they try to blanket the waterfront, and they shouldn't do that?
Yeah, a typical process. Let's go through the mindset of a new business owner. Gee, I left the corporate world, took the buyout, started my own business, and that's because I have a skill, I have a product, a service that I'm good at, okay? Mm-hmm. So I go to market. A typical thought process would be, I'm going to focus on my product or service. Note that customers aren't in the mix yet. We have a competitive landscape, so I'm going to be mindful of who the competitors are. I'm going to be a little bit different than, we have to be unique or at least somewhat unique. So we're going to price and package a little bit differently. We're going to leap into marketing, get into sales, and then focus on delivering on the service. So we focus in our business on service-oriented business owners. That sequence is out of whack, and often the right customer, we find the biggest challenge business owners have is they just don't have enough of the right customers. They have unprofitable, they get into price wars and price slashing. Nobody can win that war. We help them focus on who are the ideal customers, and there's a process that we go through and create a niche that they can actually win.
And that's what you're putting in your book.
Well, so the book is all about what we've found is about probably half or more of our customers. They leap into business, and they're following a passion, and they want to make a difference. Mm-hmm. So the book is about creating a niche and making a difference. So we have quite a number of our clients team up with nonprofits and make a difference in the community somehow. So the book is about people going into business and the trials and tribulations that they go through and how they focus their business, but then they want to make a difference. So we're going to bring out a couple of ideas. It's going to be an interview series with probably 20 business leaders that have gone through the process and make a huge difference in the community. So how a small business can actually make a huge difference.
Now, you could write about this could be your own story, actually.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah.
Is it?
Not so much. I'm going to bring out other business owners.
But what I'm thinking is, you said, you know, you were in the corporate world, you left corporate world, you started your own company. Who was the Larry for Larry?
Oh, the Larry for Larry. Boy, we actually probably didn't have one.
And I that's mean, why
way back when. And so we are our mission is to, our annual goal would be, we want to help 100 business owners make an additional $100,000 a year.
Well, that's nice.
So that's a $10 million community development program.
Does that include a money-back guarantee?
Well, yeah, back to me. I'm just kidding.
See, I can always count on Alan to come in with those questions. You know, you got. So go ahead.
Oh, that's the what's in it for me.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So, but are you utilizing what you learned in the process of creating this company as how you teach others or what you share?
Oh, absolutely. In my, call it my dark days in the corporate world, you know, worked for some Fortune 100 companies, from startups, a mid-range of consulting firms.
Mm-hmm.
And basically that's a lesson of how not to do most things.
And I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, we focus on people actually taking charge, taking accountability for their own fortunes, and following their dream and figuring out a way to do that. And so folks that are stuck in a job that they might not like,
mm-hmm,
really aren't doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we help people monetize their dream.
You know what? I'm going to break my own rule right now.
Uh-oh.
And the reason I'm going to do that is I'm going to introduce Hal and bring him in. And the reason I'm doing that is because what you just said, Larry, reminds me of a story that Hal likes to tell, his encounter with advertising and Yellow Pages. But so let me first introduce Hal Coleman. Hal Coleman and I have breakfasted frequently over the past 2 years. He has a very business background, 10 years as a state regulatory inspector for the Georgia Department of Agriculture, 6 years in termite and pest control services and sales for a large independent pest control company, 18 years owning and operating his own termite and pest control company. And I love what you say about this, Hal. You started as one man with a spray can and built it into a $1 million business. And he didn't have a Larry.
Well, but he had the smarts to do it.
Well, he had other mentors, didn't you, Hal? Welcome. Way in here.
Oh, welcome. You are so wrong, Dr. Tim. I had a Larry. His name was Larry. Larry Latimer.
That's right. You did. You did, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Larry Latimer turned me from a bug guy into a marketing guy. He really did years ago. We'd known each other through the music industry for many years, and Larry became a world-class marketer and motivational speaker, and because of our friendship, he began talking to me about my business and how I marketed it. And I thought I was doing a good job. And I said, well, I'm in the Yellow Pages. I've got a website. I do direct mail. I've got business cards. I do flyers. I network. And so he asked me what kind of results I was getting for my dollar, what kind of return on the investment. And it wasn't very good. And so I didn't even want to go there. So Larry said, well, let me maybe explain to you, shed some light on why you're not doing so well with it. And Larry, really in just a few minutes' time, about 10 years ago, caused a light bulb to come on in my head and realized that you have to have a powerful message. You have to be able to, I think it was Ralph Waldo Emerson who said, build a better mousetrap and the world will be the path to your door.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not if they don't know you have it.
That's true.
And not if they don't clearly understand why it's better than all the other mousetraps.
There you go. Now, this Larry that's in the studio, you see why I brought him in on the conversation. One of the downfalls of radio is you can't see Larry nodding his head up and down while Hal's talking. But it's this congruence, because you were talking about people go off and start their businesses and don't really look at what they need to do.
And they focus on the wrong thing. Well, here's what I heard. You went from the good bug guy, but not marketing, to a marketing guy that has a bug service.
Oh, that's right.
Big difference. And it's focusing on the revenue generating activity, which is the marketing.
Yeah.
And absolutely. And that's getting the right focus and priority. So that's awesome.
And you had talked about being in the corporate world, and the corporate world tends to do the same things over and over again. And when you start a business or get into something new, you can't do that.
And the buck stops on your desk. And there isn't anybody, there isn't another department or somebody else to worry about all those other things. It's you got to get the right things in the right order.
Would you be comfortable telling your story about Yellow Page Ad?
Oh, sure.
It's
a favorite story of mine. You know, I was in the, when I started out as the one guy with the spray can, I asked one of my mentors in the bug business, I said, do I need to be in the Yellow Pages? He said, well, you do. I said, I really don't know if I can afford to be in the Yellow Pages. He said, well, you can't afford not to. Now, this was in 1990. This was pre-internet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the Yellow Pages was a great place to advertise for any type home services business, and I got a great return on my investment. But then there popped up another Yellow Page book, and then another Yellow Page book, and then this thing called the Internet came along, and then there was another Yellow Page book. So the Yellow Pages was not the gold mine that it had been in the past, and I saw my return on the investment go down, down, down every year. I was always big on tracking things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I had the same Yellow Page representative for about 15 years of the 18 years I was in the Yellow Pages. And when I complained that I wasn't getting quite enough business, it was going down, he said, well, you know, what we need to do is we need to add color to the ad. So I said, okay, how much is that? Well, let's add color. Next year, we increased the size. Next year, we changed the graphics. And I ended up with what's called a double truck Yellow Page ad in the local Yellow Pages. It was two full pages.
Oh, my.
So, there, you know, other than buying the Yellow Page book, I didn't know what else I could do.
Mm-hmm.
And I stumbled onto a pest control guy in Florida who had become a real astute marketer and a student of long-form sales letter writing dramatic, powerful, dynamic, compelling copy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fascinated by that, so I started learning how to write compelling copy. He sent me a copy of a Yellow Page ad that he had used, which looked like a magazine article. It was just, you know, like a number 8 font.
Mm-hmm.
And you could sit there and read this ad. It took you 5 minutes to read the ad. And I showed that to my Yellow Page guy, and he said, look, Hal, I've been selling Yellow Pages for 28 years. I've been the leading Southeastern salesman for 6 of those years. You got to trust what I'm telling you here. You can't put this in the Yellow Pages. I said, why not? He said, nobody will read it. Why won't they read it? Well, look, it's the font's too small. I said, yeah, I know, but it's the same size as the newspaper and the magazines and the Bible and everything else that people spend all day reading. Why wouldn't they read this? Oh, you got to trust me, Hal. They just won't read it. They're not going to read all this stuff. I said, well, why do they read stuff? Well, so we get into this little discussion. And I was committed to put this ad in there. And he said, you know, you might as well flush your money down the toilet if you want to put this ad in there. So I did. I sent it in, and the graphics department immediately sent it back with about 4/5 of the information eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
They
mm-hmm.
said, you can't do this. So I really ended up having to put it in a PDF format and send it to them so they couldn't tamper with it.
I like that.
And I said, I'm paying you to put this in there. It was a half-page ad. Went from double truck down to half-page ad. And he was literally embarrassed for me mm-hmm. that I would put this in the Yellow Pages. Bottom line is, my return on my investment went up a little over 300%.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And instead of people calling me from the Yellow Pages and saying, yeah, I got you out of the Yellow Pages. Do you do this or do you do that? Do you provide termite? I have to answer all these questions. Everything was answered in the ad. So when they called after they read my ad, they just called and said, I got you out of the Yellow Pages. I need a termite treatment. When can you come out here and do it? So my ad just did all the selling for me. It answered all the questions, did all the selling, gave them all the benefits, testimonials in the ad, once. So I, as Claude Hopkins said back in the 1920s, you need to hold your ads accountable in the same way you hold your salespeople accountable.
Cool. That's good.
If they're not doing the job, get rid of them.
And you did.
Yeah.
You like that one, don't you?
Well, yeah. It's a couple of things. Obviously, the status quo isn't necessarily what's going to work in the future. And so try different things, track them. But, you know, for a service-oriented business owner who's marketing and selling and delivering on the service, marketing is everything. If marketed properly, they really get out of the selling business because the marketing sells for them.
And that's attracts
the right people, and they don't spend so much time trying to convince people of their service.
Here, here.
And now that's part of what you're putting into your book. What was the biggest challenge for you to get underway writing?
Oh, lining up the right people, because I want to interview about 20 people, more than that. It'll be an ongoing series, but it'll be a slice and dice of a range of businesses and people at different life cycle stages of their business.
Okay.
Startups, been a business 2 or 3 years, been a business 10 years. But what was the compulsion that got them into the business? And then what were some of their aha moments, just like Hal had, of, okay, wow, that I did something differently and leaped into the next gear, and that enabled me to do something else with the business and make a difference. And so I want to capture those. My goal here is that it'll give people who are thinking about it an idea that they could do it too.
The encouragement.
Right.
The encouragement. You wrote Ninja Marketing. Was that, when did that come along in the process of being a pest control guy, marketing, and all that stuff?
The Networking Ninja Handbook.
Yeah,
is that
what
you're referring to?
Yeah.
Well, I really feel it's accurate to say that I built my business by networking in the community, by being a member of the Chamber of Commerce and Rotary and independent networking groups and volunteering and just being out there in all the right places and meeting all the right people and building the relationships and having my name tag and my vehicle parked in front of everybody in all the right places and just creating the buzz and the conversation about my company. I did a lot of outrageous things to attract attention. Some people wouldn't really believe some of the things that I did, but...
Well, you went to a lot of ribbon cuttings, didn't you?
Oh, tons of ribbon cuttings, you know, because when there's a grand opening, you go to the ribbon cutting, who's there? The mayor, the city council people, the clergy, the bank presidents, and nobody else, and because nobody turns out much for ribbon cuttings, but if you're there, you get a... They say, okay, they all gather together. Here, we're going to do the ribbon cutting, and the newspaper's there, and they take a picture, and there's a picture of you standing next to the mayor in your local paper, and people call and say, yeah, I saw you with the mayor. I mean, it's just a little, it's a marketing idea. But, you know, I bought a 17.5-foot-long, 165-pound Burmese python snake one time. And
I
released it under a house in Alpharetta with the permission of the owner. And then I called all the news stations and everybody and told them I was crawling under this house to get this snake out. They all showed up. I got on the 6 o'clock news. I got a full page write-up in the Journal Constitution. And we had this snake out in the yard, and everybody was, you know, checking it out. And the lady said from the Journal said, how do you suppose it got under there? I said, well, I put it under there. She said, why would you put a snake under a house? I said, so y'all would come out here and do this story and you'd get to see it. And she said, oh, that's so awesome. You know, she's sitting there writing it up. So in the article in the newspaper said, Coleman admits the whole thing was a publicity stunt for his pest control company in Alpharetta. So people talked about that for 2 or 3 years.
I like your impression of the lady.
Yeah. And I actually paid $300 for the snake, and I had a guy meet me there on the spot, and he bought the snake for $400. So I turned the snake for a profit, too.
You did well.
Yeah.
You did well. Larry, are you taking notes?
Yeah, I love this. You know, it's there are no constraints. It's, you know, you gotta, it's got to fit your style and go for it.
Now, one of the things that you've mentioned is that it's taking you a while to put this book together because you want to get the right people and interview the right people. What keeps you moving forward in the writing and in the process of it?
Yeah, well, I love working with the people and hearing their stories.
Okay.
I mean, what gets me motivated is, you know, when people literally are able to follow their dream and make a difference so that, you know, some good things will happen.
But it takes work.
Oh, it does take work.
And the reason I lift that up is sometimes my clients think that they should be able to knock out a book in 3 weeks, 4 weeks max, and it takes longer than that.
Well, nobody told me this. I'm just kidding.
No.
Nobody told me this.
Well, there are some people that do that, but it does take some work, doesn't it?
It does take work. Yeah. Yep.
What are your plans then? When this is all written, what do you plan to do with it? Is it going to be, you going to create courses out of it? Is it going to be something you include in your package when you're...
It'll probably be something, well, you know, we'll probably sell it on the website, but it'll be lessons learned and, you know, gifts for clients. And just, we want to show people not so much what we do, but what other people can do.
Mm-hmm.
And give people motivation.
Have you found a common theme in all these stories yet?
Well, a couple of themes. Once people come to the realization that they really do want to make a difference, and a lot of people perhaps that have worked for big companies didn't. They weren't in a position to do anything other than just get in their pigeonhole and do their job, and people hate that. And so once they figure out that they can, in fact, put a business together and get some enjoyment out of it, then they can make a difference. And so we just want to show them how that can be done. So the aha moment of, okay, we can do this and actually make money out of it, and then we don't have to be constrained by what everybody else thinks we should be doing.
Okay.
You know, just like Hal, it's like, you know, didn't read in the MBA book that go by the snake. It's, okay, had an idea, went and did it, and it worked. And so people need to be willing to try things.
And that's probably the most outrageous. Well, maybe not necessarily.
Well, I have a formula that I go by, you see. If I come up with an idea, I bounce it off of about a half a dozen people. I say, what do you think of this idea? And if all of them tell me I have lost my mind,
that's the one.
Then
you
I go do it.
It's got to be a good
like
one.
Like the
right?
Yellow Page ad, you know, yeah. You're crazy. That'll never work. The more people tell me it'll never work, the more I know I've hit onto something.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have reinvented yourself several times. Is that safe to say? Or you've made a variation on a theme?
Well, I kind of think I've been evolving through the years. You know,
okay.
I was a bug guy, but I've always been an entertainer and a speaker. I was a songwriter and a musician for years and an actor. And I just kind of brought all those things into my business.
Mm-hmm.
And I sold my business 3.5 years ago, but I had begun mentoring a lot of other small business people and really was so passionate about helping small business owners get customers that the opportunity came along to sell my pest control company and just go into that full time. So now I do seminars and workshops and coaching for small business people who really don't know how to get customers. I said, well, look, here's some things you can do to get customers.
First, you put a snake under a house.
Well, you don't have to go that far.
Oh, okay.
You really don't. You really don't.
But haven't you recently, if I'm remembering some of our conversations, you now focus even more on pest control, but in working with pest control owners to market their business.
Owners, managers, and salespeople, teaching them how to generate more referrals and how to ramp up their customer service. So that they build loyal customers who, you know, when it comes down to either not having dinner tonight or canceling our pest control guy, we're going to skip dinner and keep our bug guy, you know, that kind of customer service. But the pest control business is a home services business. So what I teach really applies to any home service type business, any small business. And I work with a lot of small business owners. I do seminars for small business owners who are not just in the pest control. But, you know, I have a story to tell, 37 years in the pest control industry. I have a really good story to tell there. I don't have a story to tell in the automotive industry or the dog grooming business, although the same strategies apply, the same rules apply, but I don't have the success story there that I can share, so it's a little harder to build credibility sometimes in those industries, if that makes sense.
That does make sense. That Do you guys want to ask each other? You're being very observant and watching me wave and talk to you, but if you want to interact, please go ahead.
Don't kill me here.
Put us on the spot here.
Yeah.
I'm planning on having coffee with this guy after we get through here, because I want to find out more about what he does, and I just can't get enough of this stuff.
You know, yeah. It's always interesting. It's a big world out there, and you know, when you encounter people that kind of share your philosophy, you know, that's good.
Let me challenge you, Larry, with this one. He has his boa story. And a whole bunch of others. What do you see are the kind of unique things that you encourage your clients to do? Perhaps not as outrageous, but what sets you apart?
What sets us apart? Well,
that's a Hal Coleman question, isn't
it? Well, we focus on helping our clients turn their business around, look at it from the outside in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, every small business owner, particularly that has the time grind of, if I'm marketing and selling, I'm not getting paid over here because I'm not delivering. And mm-hmm. if I'm delivering, well, then I'm not out marketing and selling. And so, you know, setting up the systems that run around the clock so the time grind doesn't happen. But we help our business owners refocus how they get paid, okay, and open up, you know, we want them to open up multiple revenue streams. But it's a mindset shift of so many business owners think that the hour I spend with my client, or, you know, I'm at the house for an hour, or, you know, a coaching session, whatever, that's when I'm getting paid. That's actually not, that's a cost. The revenue generating time is the marketing and selling. And so that's a complete mindset shift. And so
that's big.
That's, you get paid when you market and sell. You can outsource the delivery of the service if necessary. So that's actually a cost. That's a complete reversal of the going-in concept of every business. So we help break down the assumptions that a business owner goes into business with
mm-hmm.
and overcome those.
So that's part of the different way of thinking that you have in your past key strategies.
Absolutely. And then hand-in-hand with that is outside-in look at who the ideal customers are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it isn't so much what I do, it's what do they value? And do I package up a product or a service that hits their value scale in a way that they want to trade dollars for it? And so it's what's of value to the customers, not so much what I think is of value. So we get it. It's a big mindset shift.
You've got to be wanting to say something here, putting you on the spot. But I'll tell you, I'll help you here. You've put me through this series of questions. And would you want me to always get a yes and a yes and a yes? You want to elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, I could. I mean, you know, 88% of the decisions that we make originate in our subconscious minds.
Mm-hmm.
Only 12% are conscious decisions. But most people are marketing to the conscious mind because they don't know how to market to the subconscious mind. Basically, most people who are selling their business or their service or their product are relying on the art of selling, their instincts. But the science of selling is equally as important, because that's how you communicate with the person's subconscious. And that's where you develop that powerful, dynamic, compelling, hypnotic, irresistible message that persuades people that you're the person they should be doing business with. And you can do that in just a few words, with phrases, punctuations, statements, and delivered at the proper time and the proper way. And so I've spent years studying the subconscious, and so it's amazing. Mark Twain once said, the difference in the right word and the almost right word is like the difference between a lightning bug and lightning.
Mm-hmm.
And most people are using the almost right words.
Absolutely.
But if I told you, if I said, Dr. Tim, there's this safe down the hall, at the end of the hall, and I got $10,000 in gold bullion for you down there. Here's the combination. It's 39-21-40. Go get it, man. And you come back later and say, that didn't work. I didn't get the gold. why? What combination? Well, I use 39, 21, 41. I said, no, it's 39, 21, 40. You say, well, 40, 41, what's the difference? One little number couldn't make that much difference.
But it does.
And I said, but it does. But it makes does. All the difference. And so wording and messaging is the same way. One little thing wrong can just mess up the whole thing.
Sure can.
Does that make sense?
It does. Well, I think of when you and I have talked, and you know, I like to get clients who need help in writing a book, and you walked me through the process of, what if I could show you a way to make writing a book easier? Would that interest you? Well, yeah. And just a whole bunch of, because you tell me what you offer a client. I said, well, I this. And you said, no. What if? You're smiling on that one. Does that ring bells for you, Larry?
Yeah, that's the big difference between here's what I do versus here's what you value. And it's all in how you articulate the value.
And say more about that.
Well, as Hal's talking about the messaging, something that, anybody that's out there networking, they should have a dollar for every time somebody stands up at the chamber or some networking event and starts blabbing about, well, here's what I do, here's what I do, here's what I do, here's what I do. And there's not a benefit anywhere in the room.
Yeah.
And so it just doesn't stick. And so people, are in it for what's in it for me, and then why should I care? And so what's of value to the prospect, or more importantly, to somebody who might be a referral partner, they have to understand the value. They don't really care the details of what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all about, okay, the benefit of whatever the service is. If I don't get that, then, case closed. And so the words count, but it's got to be in the right perspective. And that's a big skill for people to learn.
And it's a tough one to learn. It's breaking. You have to break a bad habit.
It's got to unlearn all those habits.
Yeah.
And, people that, particularly new business owners that might have come from, working for somebody, they tend to identify their own personal identity with the business name on their card as opposed to them. They get out in business, they're selling them.
Yeah, they are.
Their personal identity. That's a big mindset shift for people.
Yeah, I'm feverishly writing notes over here on my show pad. And the reason I'm doing that is I'm meeting with some of my independent contractors this Sunday, and I've got to remember to tell them these things because I know they're out there marketing, and I thank both of you for that.
No, I can read what you're writing. You wrote, stop, get eggs, milk, bread, stop by dry cleaners.
That's the entertainer in you, right?
Gas the car, right.
I knew it was going to be fun with Hal on air. Actually, what I have written down is, what if I could show you? And those are so important. What if I could show you?
Well, Larry Latimer, my mentor and very great influence on my life, and he passed away several years ago, but we used to all joke about Larry. He said, Larry, at some point in the conversation, if you were discussing something or hashing something out, Larry would at some point say, Well, let me ask you a question. And when he did, when he said that, it was like if you were playing chess, he said, checkmate. Game okay. over. When Larry gotcha. Said, let me ask you a question, it was over. It was over, because when you answered that question, you had sealed your own fate in the argument.
Uh-huh.
It was just over. So the best salespeople don't really ever tell people anything. They simply ask the right questions.
Ask the right questions.
And they lead the person right down the path to the signature on the dotted line by simply asking a series of powerful questions so that the person actually sells themselves on the product simply by answering the questions.
I mentioned earlier the Networking Ninja. Is that a book? Is that a CD? Is it a combination?
It's a book, the Networking Ninja Handbook.
How could people get a copy of that?
They can go to my website.
You have a website?
TheNetworkingNinja.com.
Wow.
One of my many websites, yes.
One of your many.
And they can just get my audio programs and my book, and they can book a seminar. They can call me about coaching. They can buy me a cup of coffee, and I'll give them life-changing information just for a cup of coffee. How's that deal?
I can say amen to that because you've done that with me, and every time we meet, it continues to happen. You also have another book out, but it's more for the pest control industry, though, isn't it?
Well, I have a book called The Homeowner's Pest Protection Manual that I wrote to use as a marketing tool for speeches. I have another book called... people say I wrote the book on customer service, and I did.
It's yes, called you did.
The Book on Customer Service, and they can get that at my other website, one called thebookoncustomerservice.com. And they can download the book right there. And I'll teach them how to create what I call shock and awe customer service.
So, I like that.
I call it SACS, S-A-C-S, shock and awe customer service. The opposite of that is sucks, S-U-C-S, which stands for shamefully undelivered customer service, which is what a lot of people are delivering out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, teach you all about that in the book.
I'll bet you do. Larry, you see why I needed you here? A little leavening.
I'm here to balance this out. Why would I want to do that?
Yeah. So how do people get in touch with you? They want to use your services. They want to learn more about you. And ultimately, when your book comes out.
Well, we have a website, passkeystrategies.com. And there, you know, people can request, you know, guidebooks on how to get started and free things. One thing that we offer is what we call a breakthrough talk with me. And that's a complimentary consultation. You know, coffee could be included. And people often get stuck. And it's that status quo mentality of, oh, boy, you know, whatever it is we're doing, it isn't working, but we don't know what else to do, or we're hesitant to move ahead in a different direction. So that's a breakthrough, you know, aha moment for people to, you know, give some outside perspective on what they might be doing and get them started. So that's a complimentary thing.
What advice would you give to folks who are contemplating, business people that are contemplating writing a book?
Writing a book, I would say, go for it. Don't hesitate. It may take more than a month. And I hear stories about people, you know, writing a book in a weekend or a couple of days, and I'm skeptical of that. But go for it. Everybody has a great story.
Mm-hmm.
And telling their story is of value.
Okay.
And people often underestimate their story.
Absolutely. What would you say on people who, business people writing a book?
Oh, amen to everything Larry just said. And, you know, once you write a book and you have that book in your hand, you're no longer Hal the Bug Guy, you're Hal the Author.
Ooh, that's pretty impressive.
And being an author, then people tune their thinking a little bit differently about you once you're an author.
They do.
And you can... There's an old saying, you know, you don't get rich from a book, you get rich because of a book.
Exactly.
And I use my book as a glorified business card. I give it out at seminars, and that book has just brought business to me simply because somebody read it and they liked what was in there. They want to be a better networker, want to know how to grow their business, so they call me, and then we develop a relationship. So just do it. Just get a book in your hand, and then there are all kinds of things you can do with that book. But don't think you're going to write a book and the next week sell 20 million books retire to Tahiti, because it ain't going to happen. Because if you do that, all the books are going to end up in your bedroom closet, and you're going to work around them for the rest of your life until you eventually move them into the trunk of the car, and then they'll stay there for a long time.
And then you'll start marketing.
Yeah, so have a plan for your
book.
Have a plan.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I had a new book come out about 6 weeks ago, and I tell people I literally wrote that in a weekend. And in a sense, I did. I started it Saturday at noon, and on Monday at noon, I had it off to my layout person. But a couple of sharp people said, yeah, and how long was it percolating in your mind, and what all did you draw from? And I said, you know. But usually when I've written my other books, it's taken me about 6 months to put them together. So those things are possible.
Yeah.
Well, let's go at it one more time. Your contact information, Larry.
Larry Warnick at passkeystrategies.com. And I always answer my phone, 678-427-5145.
Hal, yours?
Hal Coleman, thenetworkingninja.com. Subscribe to my blog right there on the webpage. I do a weekly article. I do it every Monday on here's another tip you can use to grow your business. Have a lot of subscribers. You can reach me at 770-993-0004.
Great. And I'm a subscriber, and I get that. And it is one that I do read because it's fun, and I'm laughing because I can see you sitting there doing these things. So, well, the clock is on us, as it often happens, and we welcome your comments and suggestions about the show's content and our guests. If you would like to recommend a guest or be a guest yourself on Right Here, Right Now, let us know. Just send us an email at whwnbusinessradiox@gmail.com. Thank you, Alan, for co-hosting and keeping me on track.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Right Here, Right Now is brought to you each week by Right Choice Services. You can learn more about Right Choice Services at www.rightchoiceservices.com. I hope you will join us next week and tell your friends about the show. In fact, I encourage you to send them an email right now to invite them to listen live or to the downloads. Right Here, Right Now broadcasts live every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time at Right, that's WRITE, Right Here, Right Now, business.businessradiox.com. And the MP3 version is available later today. I am Tim Morrison. Join us next time when business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals come together to discuss the power of the pen and its impact on their business, right here, right now.